Does anyone have a kettle? Arthur asked as he walked onto the bridge, and instantly began to wonder why Trillian was yelling at the computer to talk to her. Ford was thumping it, and Zaphod was kicking it, and also why there was a nasty yellow lump on the vision screen. He put down the empty cup he was carrying and walked over to them. Hello, he said. At that moment, Zaphod flung himself over to the polished marble surface that contained the instruments that controlled the conventional photon drive. They materialised beneath his hands, and he flipped over to manual control. He pushed, he pulled, he pressed, and he swore. The photon drive gave a sickly judder and cut out again. Something up, said Arthur.
Hey, did you hear that?
Muttered Zaphod as he leapt now for the manual controls on the infinite improbability drive.
The monkey spoke.
The improbability drive gave two small whines and then also cut out.
Pure history, man, said Zaphod, kicking the improbability drive. A talking monkey.
If you're upset about something, said Arthur.
Vogons, snapped Ford. We're under attack.
Arthur gibbered. Well, what are you doing? Let's get out of here.
Can't. Computer's jammed.
Jammed?
It says all its circuits are occupied. There's no power anywhere in the ship.
Ford moved away from the computer terminal, wiped a sleeve across his forehead, and slumped back against the wall.
Nothing we can do, he said.
He glared at nothing and bit his lip. When Arthur had been a boy at school, long before the Earth had been demolished, he had used to play football. He had not been at all good at it, and his particular speciality had been scoring own goals in important matches. Whenever this happened, he used to experience a peculiar tingling round the back of his neck that would slowly creep up across his cheeks and heat his brow. The image of mud and grass and lots of little jeering boys flinging it at him suddenly came vividly to his mind at this moment. A peculiar tingling sensation at the back of his neck was creeping up across his cheeks and heating his brow. He started to speak and stopped. He started to speak again and stopped again. Finally, he managed to speak. He said. He cleared his throat.
Tell me, he continued, and said it so nervously that the others all turned to stare at him.
He glanced at the approaching yellow blob on the vision screen.
Tell me, he said again, did the computer say what was occupying it? I just ask out of interest.
Their eyes were riveted on him.
And, well, that's it, really, just asking.
Zaphod put out a hand and held Arthur by the scruff of the neck.
What have you done to it, monkey man? He breathed.
Well, said Arthur, nothing, in fact. It's just that I think a short while ago it was trying to work out how to...
Yes?
Make me some tea.
That's right, guys, the computer sang out suddenly. Just coping with that problem right now, and wow, it's a biggie. Be with you in a while.
It lapsed back into a silence that was only matched for sheer intensity by the silence of the three people staring at Arthur Dent. As if to relieve the tension, the Vogons chose that moment to start firing. The ship shook. The ship thundered. Outside, the inch-thick force shield around it blistered, crackled and spat under the barrage of a dozen 30-megahertz definite-kill photrazone cannon, and looked as if it wouldn't be around for long. 4 minutes is how long Ford Prefect gave it. Aboard the Vogon ship, Prostetnik Vogon Jeltz was puzzled. He had expected a chase. He had expected an exciting grapple with tractor beams. He had expected to have to use the specially installed subcyclic normality assertitron to counter the Heart of Gold's infinite improbability drive. But the subcyclic normality assertitron lay idle as the Heart of Gold just sat there and took it. A dozen 30-megahertz definite-kill photrazone cannon continued to blaze away at the Heart of Gold, and still it just sat there and took it. He tested every sensor at his disposal to see if there was any subtle trickery afoot, but no subtle trickery was to be found. He didn't know about the tea, of course.
Nor did he know exactly how the occupants of the Heart of Gold were spending the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds of life they had left to spend.